Our epistle lesson will also serve as our sermon text this morning from Galatians chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not allow anyone to put the yoke of slavery on you again. Look, I, Paul, tell you that if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. I testify again to every man who allows himself to be circumcised that he is obligated to do the whole law. You who are trying to be declared righteous by the law are completely separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Indeed, through the Spirit, we, by faith, are eagerly waiting for the sure hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. Rather, it is faith working through love that matters. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again Galatians chapter 5. Let me read verse 1 again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not allow anyone to put the yoke of slavery on you again. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what is October 31st? What is this day that we observe as the festival of the Reformation? Well, if you ask my kids, it's a day that we dress up and get candy. You talk about ghosts and goblins and ghouls and all those things. Why is that? And what does that have to do with the Reformation? Well, it's the evening before All Saints' Day. And on October 31st, 1517, that was the day that Martin Luther chose to nail 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, which sparked the Reformation of the Church of Rome. On that date, October 31st, 1517, Luther published and posted complaints against the church, particularly a concern over the sale of indulgences. These pieces of paper claimed to be pardons, claimed to be forgiveness of sins. Can you imagine that? The Church of Christ was selling forgiveness. Luther protested. If Christ has forgiven us all our sins for free, then why do we have to buy forgiveness? And on the other hand, if we could just pay money to have our sins forgiven, what need is there of a Savior at all? In spite of the protest against these and other horrible corruptions in the teachings of the church, well, you know the history. The Church of Rome did not move from their error back to the truth of the gospel. Instead, Luther rescued the true Christian church from the anti-Christian heresy of Rome. Thus, October 31st is not Halloween, but rather the start of the Reformation of the church. But Luther's most significant and clearest writings weren't actually from October 31st, 1517. He would go on to write much more, and much more clearly than just those 95 theses. That was just the start. One of the most significant and clearest works that Luther ever wrote about what that gospel actually is titled Concerning the Freedom of a Christian. I've borrowed that title for the sermon theme today, that title from the treatise. And the two main theses in that treatise as the parts of the sermon for today, because that truth of that treatise concerning the freedom of a Christian is expressed so well in the epistle lesson for today. concerning the freedom of a Christian. A Christian is a perfectly free master of all, subject to none. And at the same time, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. And now that great Lutheran question, what does this mean? Yes, a Christian is a free master of all, subject to none. Paul put it this way: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not allow anyone to put the yoke of slavery on you again." Paul said, you've been set free from slavery to everything. No one can put a yoke of slavery on you again. What was Paul talking about? He was writing to young Christians who had just learned to understand and know what Jesus Christ had done for them. Christ lived a perfect life to rescue them from their sins. He died to take the punishment of those sins away. He made that perfect payment to remove all guilt and every sin that stood in their record to set them free. Christ gave his righteousness to them as a free gift of his grace, undeserved. That's the freedom that a Christian has. And through faith in that wonderful gospel message, those young Christians, those young people were learning to understand what justification really is, that we have been declared righteous in God's sight for Jesus' sake through faith in him. That is the freedom of a Christian. Yes, as justified Christians, we're free from our obligations to fulfill the law. The law can't condemn us anymore. We're holy in God's sight for Jesus' sake through faith. We don't owe obedience to God in order to earn anything from him. There's nothing left for us to do. There's nothing remaining that we can accomplish. God is fully satisfied with us as his holy people through faith in Christ. Or as Paul puts it, indeed, through the Spirit, we by faith are eagerly waiting for the sure hope of righteousness. That's the freedom of a Christian. That's the freedom of the gospel, that we are a perfectly free master of all, subject to none. Those new Christians in Galatia, in Paul's day, however, were being told that they still had to follow certain Jewish laws and practices in order to be right with God. The Old Testament command in particular was the law of circumcision. Jews in Paul's days were insisting that Gentile Christians be circumcised according to that law of Moses, or else they would not be right with God. What a corruption of the gospel. What a slap in the face to the power and work of Christ, which has truly set us free. There's no law that can possibly condemn us anymore. We are free masters and lords of everything. But as soon as we try to be right with God by what we do, we completely forfeit Christ. We lose him entirely. Again, Paul writes, you who are trying to be declared righteous, justified by the law, are completely separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. You see, if you're right by your works, then it isn't by Christ. If you're right by the law, then you're separate from Jesus. No longer is he your Savior. You don't need one. Nor do you have one. No longer are you right through faith in him. Instead, you're seeking to earn your righteousness, a work that would never be complete. Lost and condemned to death in hell we are if we're righteous by the law, by our works. So Paul wrote, Christ has indeed set us free, so that we are subject to none, not the law or sin or death in hell. We're free from everything. Free from all obligations. Free from all threats or demands or requirements of the law with regard to our salvation. Perfectly righteous and holy through faith in Christ, we're fit for heaven. There's no work left to be done. There's no threat of death remaining. There's only the perfect peace with God now on earth and forever in heaven. That's true Christian freedom. On this festival of the Reformation, especially at this congregation, as we consider events affected by so many deaths in this congregation, what a joy it is to understand and rejoice in that Christian freedom. Nothing enslaves us. Nothing binds us anymore. We have that gift of righteousness, that hope of the home in heaven for all eternity. That's what Jesus has done for us. So Martin Luther, in his treatise on the freedom of a Christian, wrote, "What man is there whose heart, upon hearing these things, will not rejoice to its depth? So the heart learns to scoff at death and sin, and to say with the apostle, 'O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up not only in the victory of Christ, but also by our victory, because through faith his victory has become ours, and in that faith we also are conquerors." That is true Christian freedom, which no law or fear of death or damnation in hell can ever bind. So why does Luther go on to talk about the Christian being the dutiful servant of all, subject to all? And in what way is that teaching, being a servant, being a slave, is scriptural? Well, let's read on in the Apostle Paul, again in our text. Paul writes, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters. Rather, it is faith working through love that matters." Did you hear it? Faith working through love. You see, the heart that is set free through faith in Christ is glowing. It's burning. It's overflowing with grateful love. And this faith gets to work, being the servant of all, as God desires. The free Christian sees his life as an opportunity to perfectly love and serve God and to perfectly love and serve his neighbor. The free Christian does this not because he must, but because he wants to. Why else would Paul, speaking to new Christians who are burdened by the law for righteousness, why would Paul then go on to talk about the duty to love? Only because the Christian is not free from God's will, but rather is free from that will of God for salvation. Again, Martin Luther wrote, "Our faith in Christ does not free us from works, but from false opinions concerning works, that is, from the foolish presumption that justification is acquired by works." You see, faith is always working, even though works do not cause our righteousness. Rather, they are the fruit, the joyful fruit, as a response of the righteousness that Christ has given us for free. No, the Christian is a dutiful servant of all, subject to all. What does that mean for your life? It means you live to serve God. You come to worship him, not because you have to, but because you want to praise and thank him for the salvation that he has won for you. It means that you help and serve your neighbor. Your life isn't so that you can see how much you can get out of it. No, your life is one of service. You have that never-ending debt of love to show to all people, to your children, to your parents, to your siblings, your classmates, your teachers, your coworkers, your boss, your employees, your neighbors. You serve them because you're thanking God through them in everything that you do. As you love them, you're showing love to the God who saved you, who has set you free, free to love. His freedom has warmed your heart. His salvation has opened you to the desire, to the joy, to the privilege of service to Him, to all. Children, don't wait for an invitation to help around the house. Your life is one of service to your family. Parents, don't begrudge always having to clean up after your kids. Your life is one of service to your family. Neighbors, when those leaves blow over your lawn, into your lawn from the neighbor's yard, gladly gather them up, even if you just raked your own, so that those leaves won't pass on to your next neighbor's lawn. That's Christian freedom. Not serving because we must, but because our hearts are warmed with the love of Christ's service to us, to make us right with God, to make us free, to make us heirs of heaven. Indeed, through the Spirit, we by faith are eagerly waiting for the sure hope of righteousness. Until then, faith is working through love. Yes, the Christian is a free master of all, subject to no one. Christ has set us free from all the works of the law for salvation. We owe nothing and no one for our righteousness. It's a gift of God's free grace that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ, our only Savior. But at the same time, the Christian is a dutiful servant of all, subject to all, as we are filled with the love that faith has inspired in our hearts to serve out of thanks for God's salvation. That's the freedom of a Christian. And that's what October 31st is really all about. To rejoice in the free gift of salvation through faith in Christ, which is ours not by works, and to celebrate that freedom by loving God and our neighbor. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.